That's awesome. Guys, awesome atmosphere. Worship team, you guys are amazing. Praise the Lord. Come on. I feel like I'm at home right now. And I'm not even just saying that to be nice. I literally feel like I'm at home right now. You guys are awesome. Praise Jesus. But alrighty. I am excited to be here. Guys, I think I'm more excited to be here than you are. A little bit about me. Again, like Johnny said, I'm from Massachusetts. I am here for a couple days for mostly work purposes. And Johnny just went to Africa. He had an awesome time. I was supposed to be there, but some technical difficulties happened. And I was hoping to be there later on, but never ended up working out. But since I didn't go to Africa, I can be here. Come on, somebody. That's awesome. Come on. That's something. But awesome. Awesome. Well, a little bit about me. I just got married. Come on, somebody. This year. Come on. That's a big one. And I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony. Really, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a pastor's home where by early age, all my brothers, my uncles, they're all either pastors or preachers or something. So I was pretty much born into the whole thing. I mean, by the age of 14, they had me out preaching, which I had no idea what I was doing. Plus, I have a little stutter problem, so nobody in my family thought I'd ever preach. But even my mom right now says, oh, like, I never thought you'd be a preacher. I'm like, what'd you think I was going to be? All of my uncles are preachers. But nonetheless, when I was 18, I moved down to Dallas, Texas. I was there for almost 5 years. I went to a Bible college there where God did some amazing things. I mean, I was there for, again, 3 years in the Bible college, and it was awesome. Awesome. And I remember the last year of my Bible college, I mean, I went into a youth there. I was serving there, which was a Baptist church, which didn't work out too well for me. But nonetheless, I was serving there for a little while, and I remember graduating college. And I'm like, that's it. I'm like, God, you spoke to me so many prophetic words that you were going to use me. You spoke to me so many times that you are going to pour out your spirit on my life. And I was so excited. I was so excited because I'm like, man, that's it. I finished school. I'm equipped. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to, you know, pray for people. I'm ready to lead. I'm ready to do these things. And I graduated in May. And guess what happened for the next over year? Absolutely nothing. I'm standing there living in Dallas, Texas. Pretty much everything I learned, I forgot about already. All the experience I got, I just went down the drain. I'm thinking, like, dear God, is this really it? And I remember just thinking, I'm like, man, I'm going to move back to Massachusetts where I'm going to start so-and-so ministry. God's going to be working in amazing ways. I'm like talking to people that lived there at the time. They weren't too interested. So I'm like, okay, whatever, but we'll still make it happen. And nothing. Over a year, nothing. And I'm thinking, I'm like, what happened? Thanks, Jenny. What happened? And one day, I'll never forget this as long as I live. So it was late May of 2015. I'm walking in the streets of Dallas. This is probably midnight. And I cry out. I mean, I physically yelled up at God. Not even to God, at God. And I'm like, and I yelled and I stuck my finger up to God. And I said, God, where are the promises that you promised me? Aren't you a God of promise? Aren't you a God who keeps his word? And I'm yelling up to God. I'm like, God, you promised me that you would use me. You spoke to me. Forget the prophets. Yes, there are many prophets and people who were prophesying over my life. I'm like, forget them. You spoke to me personally. You said that you would use me. You said that you would pour out your spirit through my life. You gave me a desire for ministry. I've been in the desert for over a year now. I'm like, God, where are the promises? Where is this? And I'm walking, I'm yelling, and I'm upset because, again, everything I can pretty much say 3 years just threw them away. Learning everything I learned at college, I already forgot about. I'm already done. I'm not really living in sin, but I'm also not living for the Lord. So I'm like, God, what now? What are you going to do now? And this happened around late May. So early July comes the first phone call. I remember I was working in Austin, Texas, and I get a phone call from my dad, which he's saying, listen, we had a problem at our church, and a few of my family relatives pretty much took the youth, and they opened up their own church, and like pretty much there was a church split. And he's like, do you think you can move back? I'm like, really? Because I kind of imagined it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to, you know, maybe in time, maybe in like 5-6 years when I'm in my upper 20s or something, because that's how old my youth pastor was, more like even upper 30s. But, and I'm like, maybe then I can crawl my way forward. But now you really, I don't know what to say, because I've been trying to move for the past few months now and nothing's working out with work. So I'm like, I don't know what to say. This happened on a Sunday night. Monday morning, my brother calls me. Listen, two guys showed up. We're going to train him to do your job. You can move back. I'm like, no, do I really want to move back? But nonetheless, I'm like, okay, you know what? I grabbed all my things. I got back from work on the following Friday night. Saturday morning, I was on my flight back to Mass. And I'm coming up. I remember landing in Massachusetts. I'm like, what am I doing here? Our youth was kind of known around the area, more progressive. It was kind of big shoes to fill. And I get there and I see a couple of my, which are now my friends. At that time, I had no idea. It was during Baptism Sunday. So I'm there. I'm like, might as well make some new friends, because my old ones don't like me anymore. So I ended up talking to some people, and they're telling me that there is a guy coming from Dallas going to take over the youth. Like, it's all weird and stuff. I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be hard. And, so I'm upset. I'm like, what is going to happen now? I remember the following evening, they got the whole youth together. They made a whole meeting, which went south. It was sour. Everyone's kind of like yelling at each other, like, this church has no vision. This youth has no vision. Therefore, we're opening up our own church, so and so and so. And at the midst of all this, here is your new youth leader. And I'm like, oh, geez. Which I was 22 at the time. And the youth, or the people that ended up leaving, like the youngest one, I was like 22. So I'm like, what do I say? These are people who've been in ministry their whole lives, and here is me. I know nothing. And I remember, long story short, we go to prayer that Sunday night. I mean, talk about all your friends gone, completely gone. Nobody. And I remember we had to restart. One of my friends stayed. One of my friends stayed. And that guy is somebody who, when I moved back, was still clubbing, was still going drinking and doing all these things. I'm like, you're going to be one of, like, you want to co-lead the youth? He's like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, oh gosh. I'm like, this is going to be funny. So pretty much the people who stayed were the people who didn't qualify to be at the other place. I'm like, God, what are you going to do? I'm like, because I'm clueless about what to do. I don't know what to do. I remember when the whole split happened. All of my beautiful prayers, they went out the door. All of our worked up good prayers are out the door. I'm like, God, help me. That's it. That was my prayer. I'm like, God, I need your help. I need you to come through with this right now. I need you to come through. And we started ministering, started serving all that we could. I found a few of the people. I remember we were at the beach around the same time. I found one of the guys that I knew previously. He was drunk out of his mind at the beach, became one of our leaders. God completely wrecked him. And from then on, we saw people who were transformed by the power of God. I mean, we from the start, God began to move. From the start, God began to do something. Dear people, it's a very dangerous thing you can do, is surrender to God. It's a very dangerous thing. Because when you surrender to God, you let God do whatever he wants in your life. And chances are, what he's going to do in your life is not comfortable. Chances are, what he's going to do in your life doesn't align with what you want to do. What he wants to do in your life is not something that is comfortable for you. He's going to get you out of that comfort zone. I loved living in Dallas. I loved making $80,000, $90,000 a year. I loved having freedom. But God had something else in store for me. Amen? But today I want to preach on a message that I was really debating for this whole week. I'm like, what am I going to speak on? And actually, what I'm going to speak on was not even at all what me and Johnny were talking about before service. God completely gave me a different message. I want to talk about today, but I'm going to circle it around pretty much what I started talking about here. Because I believe that I want to talk today about your destiny with God. And I really want to open up a few truths from you from the book of Isaiah chapter 6. If you guys want to all open up to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1 through verse 8. And I can start reading. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two it covered its face, with two it covered its feet, and with two it flew. And he cried out to one another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes hath seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphims flew to me, and having in his hands a live coal, which he had taken from the tongues with the altar. And he touched my tongue with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." And also I heard a voice from the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And there I said, "Here am I, send me." Amen? Amen. So I want to pretty much go through the story a little bit. I want to quickly just dive into the word. I was about to talk a little about Africa, but I think God has his own plans. So the Bible says that Isaiah, in this portion of scripture, he saw the Lord. Okay? And one thing I want you guys to really focus on is that he saw the Lord. If he saw the Lord, he was seeking the Lord. Okay? If he's seeking the Lord, he was seeking something to get a revelation this deep, to get a vision this deep of seeing the glory of God, seeing angels and seraphims, being in such glory, guys. And you don't just randomly wake up and just see this. This happens as a result of seeking. As he sought the Lord, he saw the Lord. I'm going to go through a few scriptures. You guys don't have to write them down. But even one thing that I really, really want to really push on you guys, that it's not about things. It's not about something. It's about someone. It's not about seeking something. It's about seeking someone. Seeking the Lord. He saw who? The Lord. He didn't see a vision. He saw the Lord. Even though, yes, it was a vision. He saw heaven. But no, he didn't see the vision. He saw the Lord. So the Bible says, and also you guys have to open this up and quickly and go through this. In Job chapter 28 verse 7, the Bible says that there is a path which no fowl knoweth, which no vulture's eye hath seen, nor the lion's whelp hath trodden it, nor the fierce lion himself has passed by it. And the Bible says also in verse 12 of Job 28, but where is this place of understanding, and where shall this place be found? So I really quickly want to talk about today. Number one is the presence of God. He saw, in this portion of scriptures that opens up, we see that Isaiah is in the presence of God. He sought the presence of God. He's in the presence of God. And now he's seeing something as a result of the presence of God. Okay? So right now there is a place that I want to talk about right now. There is a place which no fowl knows. In other words, no demon knows this place. There is a place which no lion himself, the fierce lion himself, has not passed by this place. There is a place, the Bible says, of pure understanding. And where is this? And if here Job is asking, where could this place be found? Where is this place where there is no demons, where there are no devils, where the fierce lion himself cannot find this place? Where is this place of understanding? Where is this place where God reveals to me things that I don't know about myself? That God reveals to me things about myself? That God reveals to me maybe his word, place of understanding. Where is this place? And we read in Psalms chapter 42 that as the deer pants for the water brooks, so panted my soul for you. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you. Do you guys know why the deer pants for the waters? Do you know why the deer runs into the water? The reason the deer runs into the water is because it is being chased. It is being chased by a predator. It is being chased by somebody who's wanting to devour it. But the moment it enters into water, the moment it enters into some sort of liquid, its scent is lost. So we read the Bible over here in Job. It's talking about a place which no demon knows, which no devil knows, a place of understanding, a place that you run into and no devil can follow you. Nothing can follow you. Where is this place? What is this place and where can it be found? And I believe this is a place where Isaiah was at. I'm going to go much deeper with this. And this is a place where I was at in my life. Seeking, where I came into a place of understanding that God began to show to me things that I'm going to do. God began to show to me things that I'm going to do, the place that I'm going to go. So where is this place? The Bible says in Psalms chapter 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my rock, and him I will trust. What is this place of understanding? He that dwells in the secret place of this Most High. What is this place which no devil knows, which no demon knows, which no principality knows? What is this place? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High, where no devil knows but you, because you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Amen? Amen. I remember when I was crying out to God, and I was sharing really my testimony, when I was yelling at God. I was in prayer at the time. I was walking around the streets and just walking, talking to God, praying to God, and this pain rose out of me, and I began to cry out to God. I began to ask him what is going on, and in his presence, in this time where I was just so frustrated but crying out to God, God began to speak. Right then, this happened, I believe, on a Sunday night. On Tuesday night was when I was introduced to the whole Africa thing. This happened Sunday. On Tuesday, I was invited to a dinner that one of the ministers had. And I was having dinner with him, and he was talking about his trips to Africa. So I'm like, hey, let me go with you. So he's like, sure. So I went with him. And from going into that trip, God opened up the doors right now to the mission that we have in Africa, which I think Johnny said he was sharing about today. Excuse me, where we are believing to see 500,000 people get saved in the next few years. When did that happen? When was the door swung open in the presence of God? When did I even get this call to be in ministry right now in Massachusetts in the presence of God? I cried out to Jesus a month later, door swung wide open, I'm moving back, and God's beginning to move powerfully. In the presence of God, there's this thing called understanding. Understanding. In the presence of God, when you're in God's presence, when you're completely in God's presence and there's no foul, there's no devil around you, there's nothing in your mind distracting you, you can really, truly hear the voice of God. You can truly understand his word. Where is this place of understanding? He that dwells in the secret place. Guys, not he that visits, not he that comes and goes, not he that once in a while, not he that comes on a Sunday morning and afternoon, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Him whose address is the presence of God. You guys by yourselves can read Psalms 91. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Where? In that secret place. 1,000 shall fall and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Where? In that secret place. There is understanding. Where? In that secret place. There is protection. Where? In that secret place. There is understanding. There is revelation. There is freedom. There is joy. Where? In that secret place of the Most High, the place that you abide, the place that you dwell. And I believe that Isaiah, in this portion of scriptures, I saw the Lord. How do you see the Lord without seeking the Lord? How do you get into the presence of God without seeking him? I saw the Lord seated on his throne. I believe that Isaiah had a glorious, glorious encounter with Jesus at that time. Guys, the presence of God, it is so awesome that we find the presence of God. In the presence of God, you find your destiny. In the presence of God, you find who you are. Oftentimes, we're so busy trying to look for a miracle. I know that the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 3, from verse 3 through verse 4, if you guys want to quickly write it down. The Bible says, "And his glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light, and he had horns coming out of his hands, and there was the hiding of his power." It is describing God. It is describing God in his glory. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hands, which signifies authority. And in that was the hiding of his power. Which you guys need to realize, this is key right here. In the presence of God was the hiding of his power. Okay, so in other words, we're so sometimes wrapped up in trying to seek to be healed. We're looking for God to heal us. We're looking God for some miracle. We're looking for God for some provision. Not realizing the moment we find God, the moment we find the true, tangible presence of God, the healing is already there. The provision is already there. The breakthrough is already there in the presence of God. So the presence of God is hid, or the power of God is hid in the presence of God. When we find the presence of God, we find the power of God. So guys, please, I'm begging you guys, find the presence of God. Make sure it's somewhere that you dwell in. Dwell in daily. But Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he said, give us our daily bread, something daily. Daily communion is a must. Daily communion is a must. If it's just on Saturday or Sunday or some prayer or some conference, you're not going to grow. Yes, you might feel a goosebump going down your spine. That's not the power of God. That's not the power of God. The power of God is found in the presence of God, which is, guys, don't get me wrong, it's not even in this place. It's at home alone in your private room. That's the true presence of God. That's when you can experience. When we come into this place, when we come into church, we come together as a body of Christ to celebrate what God is doing. To talk about his goodness, to praise him as a family, to celebrate him. But yes, we grow in here, but the major, your growth happens at home. I remember I was just talking with Matthias before service, and I really find this kind of difficult because I know that a lot of people who end up going to Bible school, in Bible school, get fired up. In Bible school, I remember when I was in Bible school, geez, the Bible school has been going on since like late 70s or like mid 70s. And every day there's prayer there. Every day there's worship. There's top-notch speakers coming in. I mean, you don't have to pray a minute at home. You can just be in that presence and just soak in that for a year or two or three. And I know so many people. So many couples that have gotten married under this cloud of glory. That was the Bible school. And everything's great. Everything's awesome. They're ministering. They're serving. But the moment they leave that, the moment they leave the school, marriages fall apart. Very high divorce rate in Bible colleges, by the way. And because people are so used to there being a presence of God in a place, but not inside of them. People are so used to being around people who, or around other people who are more spiritually mature, so they bring them up. But there's going to come a time where if that presence is not inside of you, is not at home, then everything you learn is just going to go to waste. And again, I've known so many people coming back from Bible school, coming back from all these things, fired up for about a month or two, and then it all falls apart. Why? Because there's nobody anymore asking you how you're doing. There's nobody anymore babysitting you. It's just you. So I really want to encourage all of you, find that presence of God for your own. Build a relationship with God on your own. There's not always going to be a Johnny. There's not always going to be a worship band that's so anointed. There's not even always going to be your pastors. By the way, thank you, pastors, for having me here. And I forgot to mention that part, but thank you so much. But yes, there's not always going to be people like this. There's going to come a time, very soon probably, where it's going to be you and God. What is going to happen? Isaiah, in the presence of God, sees a vision. In the presence of God, sees something so glorious. And if we reread verse 5, the Bible says, and then I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. woe is me. For me, this really touched me because God didn't reveal to Isaiah what was wrong with him. God didn't tell him, hey, Isaiah, you're a man of unclean lips. You should repent. No, the presence of God exposes the sin in your life. The presence of God exposes the things in your life that don't belong. Okay? We're sometimes so aggravated and we're so upset and we feel so ashamed. Well, I don't want to go to church because I'm in so much sin, or I don't want this because I'm in so much sin. Listen, come into the presence of God. The presence of God, God Himself will teach you. God Himself will free you from your sin. You can never free yourself. As a matter of fact, so many of us are living in sin, not even realizing that it's sin. Not even realizing that what we are doing is not of God. Not even realizing that the things that we are watching are not of God. We come to, or we get accustomed to some of the music we listen to. We say, well, you know, it may be unchristian music, but it's only music. It's not a big deal. Or we get accustomed to these little sins. We don't even think it's a problem. But the presence of God exposes the very small, a big, whatever sin is, the presence of God exposes the sin. Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. The presence of God always exposes things in your life that don't belong. It is very, very, very important that we dwell in His presence. Only the presence of God can guide us into our destiny. Only the presence of God exposes the things in us that need to be changed. The things in our character that need to be changed. The things in our lives that don't belong. We, with our fleshly mind, how can we understand? How can we understand the things of the Spirit with our fleshly mind? It is impossible. And then it said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Verse 6 and 7. And then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongues from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Right here, if you guys want to underline that word, purged. Very, very important. You know what that means? It means that the very desire of sin is taken away. Your lips are purged. Your sin is purged. The very desire for sin is taken away. Guys, I really want to just really shove it into all of you guys, the importance of the presence of God in our lives. The importance of seeking the face of God. The importance of having a true relationship, a covenant relationship with Christ. Guys, it is very, very important. He purged your sin. In other words, the very desire for sin is taken away in the presence of God. And then it said in verse 8, so I heard a voice from the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. How did Isaiah understand his destiny for his life, his calling in his life? Through the presence of God. Through seeking the presence of God. Through dwelling in the presence of God. In the presence of God, God purged his desire for sin. Revealed to him things in his life that don't belong. And then he overheard a conversation in heaven that said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? There I am. Dear people, a lot of us are trying to figure out what our destiny, what is our goal in life? What should we do? What has the Lord called for us to do? Guys, stop trying to figure out what God has called you to do. Find His presence, and in there He will call you, or He will draw you into the place which you have called you to be. I had no idea. I had no intentions of ever going to Africa. I'll be blunt and honest. I was skeptical of people going to Africa because I'm like, everyone goes to Africa. Africa was probably saved like 5 times already. And I remember like, I am not going to Africa. And then when this opportunity came up, I'm like, you know what? Why not? It cost me quite a bit, but I went for the first time, like, why not? And I came, I'm like, wow, this is actually kind of cool. I made connections with a guy there at the orphanage. And me and him started contacting. Then we came in 2016, did some orphanage work, came back in 2017, and God began to move. I remember in 2017 exactly what I'm talking about here. We had a fire service with an orphanage, and walking around the island, and just don't get me wrong, like, my heart doesn't hurt that much for orphans. Like, don't get me wrong, I know it sounds kind of mean, but it's not something that's, you know, like, kills me. Like, we spent a lot of time with it, but it seemed like they're doing great compared to most children in Africa. So I'm walking by the island, and I'm like, what am I doing here? So I remember I grabbed my head, was done some worship, and I started praying violently. I'm like, God, I'm like, I just started praising him for all he did in the service. And I remember I was walking on the shore, which you probably know exactly where that is, where the boat is parked. And I looked out into the island, and God began to speak, because you can see in the distance little islands. And I'm thinking, I'm like, what am I, like, what is this? And God began to speak to me to reach every island for God. I'm like, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of money, and it's not easy. I'm like, so I'm like praying for this. And God began to reveal, the Spirit of God began to speak. I'm like, wow. So I continue just praying for this. Now I remember I ran into Michael, which, you know, and I went to one of the guys who's in charge of the orphanage. I started talking to him. I'm like, listen, this is my vision. This is what I want to see. This is what I want. You know, this is what God is speaking to me. He looked at me with eyes wide open. He's like, wow. He's like, you know, I had a dream not long ago where I saw, I was looking also out into Lake Victoria, and I saw a bunch of weeds growing, and a bunch of trees, and a bunch of plants, and just growing. And I'm like, huh, what does this mean? Then the closer that I looked, those weeds and those plants turned into people. And I'm looking, I'm like, wow. And I wake up, and I just didn't get it. I'm like, no, honestly, I'm like, it's not that hard to get. It looks like a harvest. It's people. They're, you know, but I'm okay. But nonetheless, he's like, and when you share this, because I shared it with him what I want to do, he's like, God begins to reveal to me that, yes, the islands need to be saved, but how are we going to go there? And I'm like, listen, I'm like, we have the resources to go there, but how are we going to go there? Because we can't speak the language. We don't know anything. They know. And literally right there and there, God supernaturally connected us. And now I believe we reached 12 islands, a lot more to go. But nonetheless, thousands of people have already been saved. Thousands of people have been saved. So many healed, delivered, set free. How? Where did this happen? In the presence of God, walking on the island, seeking the face of God, seeking. I was not seeking God to get some sort of revelation on what should I do. I was seeking God because I wanted to know more of him. And in knowing more of him, I knew more of myself and what he has called me to be. In Christ, you find out what you are called to be. In Christ, you find out what it is he has for you in your life. That happens in Christ. God has a destiny for many of you here today. I don't know where God's going to take you. I can't tell you where God's going to take you, but God is calling many of you in this place. Allow him to use you. Allow him to work through you. Allow him to work with you, through you. Be a vessel for his kingdom. Spend time in his presence daily. Daily cry out to him. Daily just pursue him. Let him shape you. Let him mold you. Let him pick you up, turn you inside out, upside down, shake the world out of you, and fill you with his glory. Let him work through you. Let him reveal to you what he wants to do for your life. Let him mold you into the person that he has called you to be. But that only happens when we spend time in his presence, when we become one with him. Listen, we are all born. We were all made in the presence of God. All of us were made in the presence of God. When God made Adam and Eve, he made them in the presence of God. He made them with the capacity to receive his glory. If that makes sense. He made him with the capacity to hold his glory. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they were disconnected with the presence of God. And all throughout humanity, we have this hole in our hearts that can only be filled with the presence of God, because that's what we were created for. That's what we were created for. And therefore, all of us in our lives, if we are missing that, we're searching for that somewhere. We're looking for that somewhere. Somewhere we're trying to find. Maybe it's in a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe it's in a career. But there's this void in our lives that cannot be filled. Listen, guys, nothing can fill the void in your life. Only the presence of God. Because we were created in that. We were created with a capacity to receive that. And if we don't have that in our lives, in our whole lives, we will be searching for something, but we will never know what it is. And it is the presence of God. And guys, I do want to encourage all of you, if we can have the... I want to pray for a couple of people here today. If you guys are here, awesome. If you're not, that's fine with me. But I really, really want to encourage each and every one of you. Get back to seeking the face of God. Get back to seeking His face. The sign of spiritual health is the hunger for God. The moment a person stops hungering or stops being hungry in the natural, it means a person is sick. When you're sick, you're not hungry. If you are not hungry for Jesus in your life, something's wrong. Something is absent. If you are not hungry, if you're not hungering to be in His presence, something is wrong. That should be a red flag. If you are healthy physically, you're hungry for food. If you are healthy spiritually, you're hungry for the presence of God. You're hungry to spend time in His presence. You're hungry, you're longing to spend more time with Him. Spiritual hunger is a proof of spiritual health. Now, I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody here today, but maybe you're a person where you say, at one point, I was so hungry for God. At one point, I was praying to God at home. I was reading my word. Now, just that desire is just not there anymore. It comes here and there, but not a desire. Guys, I have a question for you. When was the last time maybe you even had a spiritual withdrawal? I remember, like, oftentimes, even right now, happens in my life where I don't spend time with God for a couple days and I can't find peace in my heart. I have to run back into His presence. I have to run back, read the word, pray, just spend time with Him, and that void just goes away. Guys, if you in your life maybe even haven't prayed for a long time, haven't sought, I'm not talking about, guys, when I'm talking about prayer, I am not talking about 2 minutes before you go to bed just in case you die at night. You guys know those prayers, especially when you're growing up. Like, guys, like, God, I repent of all my sins just in case. That's not prayer. That's giving God a list of our needs and leaving and doing absolutely nothing. Prayer is not giving God our needs in leaving. Worship is not giving, is not singing Christian karaoke. You know what true worship is? This revelation God gave me very recently. I believe true worship, when we truly worship God, it is our ministry unto Jesus. If that makes sense. We are all used to doing ministry. We're all used to ministering to one another. We're all used to ministering on stage when we do worship. We usher people into His presence, praying for people, doing this for people, preaching to people. And we get so caught up where we minister so much to people, but we forget to minister to Jesus. Before you can ever minister to people, you must minister unto Jesus first. And I believe the greatest way you can minister unto Jesus is through your worship. It's through your worship. It's when you don't look at anybody else. You forget about your list of needs that you have. You put all that aside and you say, Jesus, I want to worship You. Jesus, I thank You for Your goodness. Jesus, I thank You for Your presence. If it wasn't for You, I'd be lost. If it wasn't for You, there would be no joy. If it wasn't for You, there would be no revival. If it wasn't for You, there would be nothing. Thank You, Jesus. Worship is all about Him. Prayer, I believe, is all about Him. Guys, trust me. God knows you better than you know yourself. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. So in this time of worship we'll have for maybe a couple minutes, give it all to Him. Worship Him. worship him in spirit and in truth. You guys know what that means? I was studying this a little bit. The word truth means nothing hidden. When we worship God in spirit and truth, the word truth, it means nothing hidden. It means you come to God as you are, nothing hidden, no secrets, just you. You come to God as you are, nothing hidden, in spirit and in truth. We worship Jesus when there's, we have nothing hidden, or when we are open to him. All of our problems, all of our everything, in spite of our circumstance, we worship him, and God will move on your behalf. As I really want all of us, if you can stand up right now, let's seek after God. Let's seek after the face of God. Seek that God gives you a fresh desire, a hunger for his presence. Seek that God gives you a hunger for more of him. Seek that God gives you such a burning passion to go after him like never before. Seek him that, yes, that he'll give you a desire to seek him. Not a feeling, not a healing, nothing, but seek him. Seek his face. He is worthy. He is our God. He is our Lord. So worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship him with all that you have. Worship Jesus. Open up your spirit and receive from him what he has for you here today. And guys, I don't know, it is up to you, but I do. If you simply need prayer, there's no specific prayer request, there's no specific thing. If you simply need prayer, if maybe you feel that you cooled off, maybe you feel, I am not as hungry as I was last week. I'm not as hungry as I was last year. I love what, I think it was Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, if you prayed more yesterday than you did today, you're backsliding. If you spent time with Jesus more yesterday than you did today, you're backsliding. Our Christian life is a constant life of growth. We grow in him. We grow in his word. We grow in the knowledge of who he is. We grow in his nature. We become more and more like him. If we are not the same like we were last year or last week or last month, we need Jesus to transform us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray for every person in this place. I pray, Holy Spirit, for this church. I pray, Lord Jesus, ignite the fire that was once burning in our hearts once more, Lord Jesus, that we will burn for you, that we will have such a hunger and passion for your presence. We'll have such a hunger and passion for more of you, Jesus.